Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine? Time to consult the online experts.
Hi, Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning. Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Insulin sensitivity.
Always
Stop it.
They don't know your body, only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at signos.com. That's SIGNOS.com with code SPARK. Signos.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Hey, welcome to the program. We're going to talk about a case that literally requires you to suspend reality to believe it. The case of Ellen Greenberg. If you're new to it, maybe you just saw the Hulu documentary and now you're doing your rabbit hole search on the internet to find out what is this all about. Well, welcome. We've been putting out a lot of content on it for the last couple of years, and I'm glad you're here because more people need to know about this. So if you are passionate about this case, press subscribe, press share on this, and please let everybody know and scream from the rooftops that Ellen Greenberg did not kill herself. Because I don't know what we need to do short of a miracle for actual human beings to be investigated in this case that is clearly a homicide. But let's go all the way back to the beginning. And let me be clear before we do this. I am not naming anyone as the killer. I'm not calling anyone a killer. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty. And a lot of people have maintained their innocence and no one's been charged. Now that we have that out of the way. It was a Wednesday afternoon, January 26th of 2011, when everything changed for the Greenberg family. Ellen Greenberg was just 27 years old. First grade teacher, a daughter, a fiance, an only child. She was found dead on the floor of her Philadelphia apartment. She was supposed to be planning a wedding. She was supposed to be picking out centerpieces and honeymoon spots. Instead, she became the center of one of the most disturbing, unresolved, and frankly unbelievable cases we've seen in modern true crime. Ellen's fiancé, Sam Goldberg, told police he had gone to the gym and returned to their apartment building about 30 minutes later. When he couldn't get in, he claimed the swing bar lock on the inside of the door was latched. He knocked, called, texted, no answer. After a string of increasingly frustrated messages, including one that read, "You better have an excuse," Sam says he eventually forced the door open and found Ellen in the kitchen floor, or on the kitchen floor, slumped over with a knife in her chest. But what 911 and paramedics walked into that evening wasn't just a tragic scene. It was a scene that should have stopped everyone in their tracks. Ellen had 20 stab wounds, 10 to the front of her body, 10 more to the back of her neck and head, some of them post-mortem. You know what that means, kids? She was dead after she was stabbed. She also had 11 bruises scattered across her body in different stages of healing. And yet, within just 24 hours, Philadelphia police treated her death as a... No, not a homicide. A suicide. Friends in high places, kids. Let that sit for a moment. 20 stab wounds, a knife so deeply embedded in her chest that first responders couldn't remove it without tools. Bruises that didn't happen all at once. No suicide note, no hesitation wounds, no history of self-harm. Just a locked door, allegedly. And that was apparently enough to override everything else. Oh, and by the way, it all came from Sam. This story came from Sam. And we all know that when someone is dead, a partner dead, it is never the partner. It's never that person's partner, ever, ever. We take what they say as gospel. and we respect their wishes, and we walk away and we let their high-powered family members or uncle come in and take digital devices out of the crime scene, or it's not a crime scene because it's not a murder, and eventually return them, but, you know, that whole chain of custody thing doesn't matter. Because, again, in America, when a fiancé dies under very suspicious circumstances, in fact, circumstances that would require her to be a zombie, quite honestly, she would have to have come back from the dead to continue stabbing herself, we take the word of the partner as gospel, right? It's just what we do. If they said, went to the gym, forced the door open, it was locked from the inside, well, then it must be true. Oh, we don't do that here? That's not how most cases work? Oh, well, that's how this one did. It's exactly how this one did. Now, I'm not saying Sam had anything to do with it. That would be crazy, wouldn't it? Or is it crazy just to believe someone on their own word with no investigation into someone that would literally have to have come back from the dead to be a zombie to stab themselves the way that she did? Which of the two is crazier? The medical examiner, Dr. Marlon Osborne, initially ruled Ellen's death a homicide based on the autopsy, but after a meeting with investigators, he reversed his decision and changed the cause of death to suicide. Huh? No new forensic evidence, no secondary autopsy, just pressure from law enforcement. And that theory built around the locked latch door. Because again, we take the partners as word as gold. They said it was locked from the inside. Well, there's no way in hell that person could be remotely involved in any of this, right? They were at the gym. They said they were at the gym. Well, we must believe it, right? Oh, we don't do that. Oh, we do in this case, though. Why? 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 Here's the thing. The swing bar locks, they're in foolproof. The building manager would later say they sometimes closed on their own when a door was slammed. Surveillance footage showed Sam returning alone, not with the building guard that he said helped him. So Sam says the guard was there witnessing him opening the or getting the door open. Oh, and the guard says, no, that I wasn't there. That never happened. Conflicting story. That seems weird. That seems like that maybe should have some more questions asked about it, considering someone's dead on the other side of the door. But again, we don't do that here in America. We don't, because he said his truth and it must be true, right? Well, that's how it worked out in this case. And again, I'm not saying he had anything to do with it. I'm just saying how it worked out in this case. Even if the door had been secured, it doesn't explain how Ellen managed to stab herself 20 times, including in places that aren't exactly possible to reach without assistance or manipulation. And that's not just gut instinct talking. Multiple forensic experts have reviewed this case. Dr. Cyril Wecht, one of the most respected names in forensic pathology, said plainly the death was not a suicide. Dr. Henry Lee, known for working on the O.J. Simpson and JonBenet Ramsey cases, agreed. Even the state's own neuropathologist later testified that one of Ellen's wounds, a stab to the back of the neck, appeared to have been inflicted after she already died because there was no hemorrhaging. You don't stab yourself after the heart stops. I know that's breaking news. I know it's shocking for many of us to learn that we can't post-mortemly stab ourselves. But in this case, I guess that's what happened, right? If we're going to go with the narrative, she came back from the dead, stabbed herself. Sounds legit. There have been no charges, no arrests, not even a formal criminal investigation. Because why would you do that? Why would you do that when there's a suspicious death and someone stabbed themselves 20 times? Because that's a common way to go, number one. And it's physically possible to stab yourself 20 times after you're dead. Again, suspend reality if you want to believe the official narrative of this case. That's what makes this case different. Not just the brutality of Ellen's injuries, but the complete breakdown in basic investigative protocol and sense of reality. The day after her death, before police even got a full search warrant, the apartment was professionally cleaned, you know, like you do. That's right, the scene was wiped down, blood removed, potential evidence gone. A crime scene wasn't treated like a crime scene because someone decided it wasn't one. To make matters worse, Ellen's laptop and phone removed from the apartment. Not by police, but by a relative of Sam, reportedly with police permission. It's called breaking the chain of custody, but is it when you get permission? Why would an officer even give you permission to do that? There's a question to be asked. It's a massive red flag. Any digital evidence found later, like alleged suicide-related internet searches, is now completely suspect. And original investigators admitted they found no such searches when they first examined her devices. So where did those come from? A little weird. A little strange. Let's talk about motive, or the lack of any clear one. Ellen was engaged, working as a teacher, and according to friends and family, was under stress, but not suicidal. There were no financial issues, no mental health crises going on. Her family had no warning signs. The wedding was still on. She had sent an email earlier that day to her students' parents about snow delays. She even texted her mom minutes before her fiancé claimed he got home. She wasn't unraveling. She was living her life. So why now, after all this time, has no one been held accountable? Well, that question has haunted her parents, Josh and Sandy Greenberg, for more than a decade. They fought through two lawsuits to get the city to reconsider Ellen's cause of death. They've hired experts, gathered evidence, and exposed massive cracks in the original investigation. They've even had to fight off false narratives, claims that Ellen was mentally unstable or searching for ways to hurt herself, claims that have fallen apart under scrutiny. In January 25, they finally got something close to progress. Dr. Osborne, the same medical examiner who changed the cause of death to suicide, reversed himself again. In a sworn statement, he said he now believes the matter of death should be changed to something other than suicide, citing additional evidence and context that he didn't have in 2011. It's a big reversal, but it's not officially on paper. It's just an opinion. It doesn't actually change much, because it means even the original architect of the official story no longer believes it, if they ever did to begin with. As part of the legal settlement, the city of Philadelphia agreed to re-examine Ellen's death. Except, again, that's just on paper. A judge even gave them a deadline, October 14th, 25. That's when we'll learn whether the city is finally ready to face the facts, or if this case will continue to be swept under the rug. If you've been playing along for the last 14 years, it's seen a lot of rugs. In the meantime, that new documentary, maybe while you're here, Death in Apartment 603, just dropped on Hulu. It's bringing the case into the national spotlight, finally. For many, it's the first time they're hearing about Ellen Greenberg. But for others, for her family, her friends, and for the experts who've been following this for years, it's been a chance to say, we've been screaming this from the start. Someone did this, and they got away with it. Here's what we can't ignore. If Ellen Greenberg was murdered, and if the evidence makes a damn, and the evidence makes a damn strong case that she was, then her killer's been free for 14 years, free to live their life, while Ellen's ended violently on her kitchen floor. And the institutions that were supposed to protect her, investigate for her, fight for her, didn't. They looked at a locked door and ignored 20 stab wounds. They looked at bruises and saw nothing suspicious. They handed off digital evidence. They allowed a cleanup before a full search. They buried the case under paperwork and hoped the questions would go away. But they haven't, and they won't. Because if justice means anything, it has to mean looking backward when you get it wrong. and it has to mean saying, we missed something, let's fix it. And it has to mean charging someone if the evidence supports it, even if years later, especially if it's years later. So we will ask the question again. Will anyone ever be charged in Ellen Greenberg's death? It's not just a question for law enforcement. It's a question for all of us, for the justice system, for media, for the public. Because if we accept this case as closed, if we let the bruises and the wounds and the contradictions just slide, we're saying that truth doesn't matter. We can suspend reality quite easily if we're going to put this case neatly in a box that says suicide. That accountability is optional. That reality can be rewritten with a keystroke. But it can't. The facts are still there, and the family is still waiting, and the public is still watching, now more than ever. Ellen Greenberg deserves more than silence. She deserves answers. And someone out there knows the truth. The only question now is whether anyone in power is finally ready to speak it. Or do they need to be forced to do the right thing? If you're outraged by this case and you're just hearing about it, it needs more people being outraged. We've been talking about this case for years. 4 years. And I will tell you, there is a concerted effort going on out there and has been to quiet this case, to quiet the chatter, to quiet people from speaking about the obvious. Take a listen to that 911 phone call if you're going down the rabbit hole. You tell me what you hear. Does it sound like a fiance that has just found their fiance after killing themselves? Or does it sound like something very, very different? And I'll leave it at that. Different. Let me know your thoughts in the comment section. And for the love of God, if you care about this case, keep sharing it. People need to hear about it. And Ellen and her family deserve justice. Speak about it. Tell me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. If you're not already there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, and you'll find us. Be sure to press subscribe while you're there as well. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want to try a free sample of Berry Pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine? Time to consult the online experts.
Hi, Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning. Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Insulin sensitivity.
Always
Stop it.
They don't know your body, only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
2 ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.